Friends, roadies, countrymen, and all listeners around the world, here we go again. It's me, J.E., John Edmund, once more. And this month, it's Father and Son Month. So, over to the younger set. Here we go.
Good day to all the listeners from across the world. My name is John Ross Edmund. Dad, it is truly a privilege and an honor for me to be doing this podcast for you. Today I'd like to discuss and talk about my career as a pilot and how my passion for aviation began so many years ago. I've always been surrounded by pilots, and a very good family friend, Uncle Bill Southwood, is one of them. As a young boy, I would hang on his lips listening to his flying stories. And a lot of these folks probably convinced my dad to start flying. I'm sure Bill was one of them. I have a very faint memory of when my dad started his PPL, I'm guessing back in 1989, and that was at Grand Central Airport in Midrand, and the flying school was called Avix Air. I do remember some of the stories that my dad told me of his training during his PPL. He did a lot of the flying on an aircraft called the Piper Tomahawk, and he just called it the Trauma Hawk. And I'm sure if there are some aviators out there, they will understand why. One afternoon after school, I remember going for a flight with my dad and his instructor, Simon Nash, in a Piper Cherokee. He was busy building ours and doing a conversion onto the aircraft and just to get more experience for his PPL. My interest in flying was also growing by the day. And every time I heard a plane fly over, I would run outside, look up to the sky, and wish it was me. My dad did pass his PPL, and then it was time for him to invest and buy his very first aircraft. It was a Cessna 172 Reims Rocket with registration Zulu Sierra Juliet Uniform India, and we just called her Jewy for short because she became part of our family. The Reims Rocket was produced by Reims Aviation, only in France and not by Cessna in America. The Reims Rocket was powered by a beautiful six-cylinder Rolls-Royce fuel-injected Continental engine. It had 210 horsepower, which is about 160 kilowatt, and the aircraft also had a constant speed propeller. This gave the Reims Rocket fantastic performance, especially on hot days on the Highveld. And if you had to contend with a short runway, the Reims Rocket would for sure outperform any aircraft in its category. We were lucky enough to take Dewey, our 172, on many family holidays. One trip that I specifically remember was in 1994, around Easter time. We decided to take a trip up to Zimbabwe. We loaded up the aircraft, and my late gran, Omar Pat, was part of the clan. For those of you that are wondering, the name Oma, that means Nana or Gran. It was always a lot of fun having Oma Pat on holiday with us because she would always spoil me rotten. The first part of our trip was from Johannesburg to Polokwane for customs and then on to Victoria Falls for a couple of days at Mosi Uatunya. We were supposed to depart for Kariba, and on the pre-flight, my dad noticed a small oil leak that he was not happy with. So he cancelled the flight, called the maintenance guys in South Africa. They flew up and sorted the aircraft out. And the next day, we were airborne, heading towards Kariba. On the Kariba leg, we flew over a little place called Binga. My dad pointed out the town and he said, during the Bush War, he had done a couple of shows down there and entertained the troops. Not long after that, Dewey's six-cylinder engine started to become very unhappy, and it started to backfire, run very rough, and suddenly the propeller stopped. Very calmly, my dad just lifted his hands and said, "Relax, I got this, I have control." At the time, Oma Pat was busy reading a book. She was actually quite happy that there was a bit of silence and totally unaware that the engine had actually stopped. It was a true miracle that we survived this event, and definitely the hand of God keeping us safe. We force landed on the airstrip at Binga, and the post-crash fire destroyed the aircraft, and of course my gran's book. She was quite upset that the book was destroyed, and she never got to finish the story. A few years later, she walked into a second-hand bookshop, and lo and behold, there it was, the very same book that she was reading during the time of the crash. She eagerly bought it and started to read it when she got home. When she got to the last chapter, she noticed that the last two pages of the book were missing. So, she never got to see the end of that story. For the full story on the crash at Binga, you can read it in my dad's book called Bushcat. It can be purchased online at www.johnedmund.co.za, along with all of his other music and albums. This event did not put me off flying, and I was even more eager to become a pilot. One Christmas, I was lucky enough to get a PC, which had Microsoft Flight Simulator loaded on it, and the game kept me busy for hours on end. I'm sure that many, many eager pilots started on the computer just as I did, playing at Mixfield, Chicago on a Cessna 182. I flew all over the place, and at the time it was only a black and white screen. Later on it developed and became better, and I managed to save up some pocket money and I bought a color screen, and the game became more and more real. Growing up on the farm and having an airstrip at our back door brought many aircraft dropping in for coffee and lunch. Later on, it developed into a popular fly-in destination for weekend warriors, the Kunkuru airstrip. Kunkuru was quite a challenging runway to land on, as it was only 600 meters long, with a landing on runway 35 towards a big mountain and a takeoff off runway 17. This did not give you many options when the wind was not favoring the takeoff runway, so we had to extend the runway to 800 meters and then later on to 1,000 meters, just to accommodate the less experienced pilots and make the airstrip a little more safe. A few years after the loss of our 172 at Binga, my dad decided to fly again, and he bought himself a Cessna 182 Zulu Sierra Romeo India Oscar, and her nickname was Rio. I was probably about 11 years old at the time, and still too young and too short to reach the flight controls. My dad always said to me, the day my feet can reach the rudders, I can then sit up front and fly with him. So I ate my veggies and grew up fast, and early one Saturday morning, I made my way to the hangar and hopped into the cockpit of our 182, and I found that my feet could reach the rudders. I immediately ran up to my parents' room and woke them up. My dad got such a fright that he thought there was a fire. I informed him of my discovery, and later that morning I got my very first flying lesson. We took off on the Kunkuru bush trip and climbed up to 1,500 feet. My dad then handed over control to me, and he instructed me to do a 360-degree turn to the left, and then another one to the right. He said it was perfect. Now the bug had really bitten. I had tasted flight. After I finished school in South Africa, I was lucky enough to be chosen as a Rotary Exchange student. I went to Prineville, Oregon, USA. The school that I attended, Crook County High School, even had aviation as one of the school's subjects, and I definitely chose that one. I was also lucky enough to fly with the Young Eagle Aviation Academy, and that is a program set out to introduce aviation to young people and make sure that they can get their very first flight and see if aviation is for them. Also, one of the family members of the people I stayed with, the one gentleman owned a Cessna 185, and he took me for a ride around the Cascade Mountains and into some of the bush strips among the pine forests, What an experience. When I got back to South Africa, I was booked in at 43 Air School to do my PPL and my CPL. I started the course in April 2003 and finished the following year. Once I had my commercial pilot's license, I immediately did my instructor's rating and set out to find my very first job as a pilot. After walking around the Lanseria Airport dropping off CVs at various companies, and with no luck at all of getting a job, I saw an ad in the SA Flyer magazine, Instructor Required in Tzaneen. I gave the guy a call, and he invited me to my very first aviation interview. My dad and I actually flew down to Tzaneen in the 182 to go meet the guy, my new boss-to-be, Mr. Maritz. He seemed happy with me and offered me the position. During my time as an instructor in Tzaneen, I met some very interesting characters and taught many farmers to fly aeroplanes. I also made lifelong friends, and we are still in touch today. After about a year and a few months, 43 Air School invited me to join their instructor team. It was a dream come true. I always looked up to the instructors at 43 Air School and thought to myself how wonderful and fantastic it would be to have the opportunity to work there. And it happened. I started at 43 Air School in July 2006 and had the privilege to train many pilots from all over the world. SAA at the time were also sending their cadets to 43 Air School. I have trained Kenya Airways, Air Mauritius, Seychelles, SAA Express, and a few African country Air Force cadets that also sent their students there. I had the time of my life living in Port Alfred and still treasure those memories to this day. After I had built up a number of hours instructing, just over 1,500 at the time, my good friend Keith and I decided it's time to move on, and we were lucky enough to be invited to an interview with SAF Air. We passed the interview with SAF Air, and we were offered jobs as first officers on the massive, mighty C-130 Hercules. My very first turbine-powered aircraft was a C-130. I started with SAF Air in July 2008 and completed my type rating in Brussels. My first mission with SAF Air was to ferry an aircraft from Jakarta to South Sudan and collect another one there and then bring it back to South Africa. En route, we picked up a problem with the number one engine and we had to divert back to Kuala Lumpur. Once we received the spare parts, 3 weeks later, the engineer had us airborne again. Our next routing was from Kuala Lumpur to Chennai, where we spent a night, and then on to Khartoum, where the beautiful blue and white Nile rivers meet. From Khartoum, we flew down to El Obeid to switch the aircraft. I had now realized what Africa was all about: war, power, and no regard for the poor people of the land. The poorest of the poor. Actually, very, very sad. The flight home was fantastic as we flew past Lake Victoria and along the majestic Lake Tanganyika. As we were cruising at 25,000 feet, I looked out the window and looked down, and I wondered to myself, 80 years ago, my grandfather was on foot and on boats exploring the land. I wondered how those old blokes navigated that harsh terrain without a GPS. It blows my mind. I even get lost having Google Maps. The last part of the leg, overhead Lusaka, Kariba, and then into Johannesburg. It was a fantastic trip that I will always remember, and the experience I gained will never be taken away. My very next tour with SAF Air was to wonderful Afghanistan. We were based in the US military camp in Kandahar, and we just called it Candy Bar. On arrival, we were issued with a bulletproof vest, a hard hat, and given a safety briefing on where the bomb shelters were, and the different sirens that we would hear, and what to do when we were under attack. The base was very comfy with everything we needed, from Pizza Hut to different PX stores, where one could buy very nice military-grade toys. Some of the missions that we flew were kind of classified, but we mostly assisted the Dutch and the Australian military in transporting goods to different airfields around Afghanistan. While I was in Afghanistan, it was a full-on war zone, and very often we would hear the bomb siren, and we would be mortared. I had a mortar land 100 meters from the container that I slept in. Sadly, that attack killed 4 Dutch soldiers, and I had a very lucky escape. I did a few tours around Afghanistan, and then I decided to call it quits working in the war zones, as I got an opportunity to go learn to fly helicopters. In my next podcast, I'll be talking about my career as a helicopter pilot. I've also branched back to fixed wing flying, where I've been doing cargo work up in North and Western Africa. And I'll tell you all about those adventures. But till then, thanks again for listening. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks, my boy. That was great. In closing, may I remind you all to like and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Keep an eye on my website, and should you want any of my music, it's available on most popular music platforms. Till next time, it's goodbye from Africa with Tutsin Salagashle and Zwakanaka.